You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
To a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a very nostalgic top five for you. What is that top five, Steve?
Wes, we're doing our top five back in my day.
And you have to say it like that.
We're talking about things that when we were young, it was a certain way that our children, our potential children, will not have it the same way. Like, we had to print out MapQuest directions.
Oh, we had atlases as well.
So, that kind of thing, that's our top five back in my day.
But we have a lot of show to get to, so let's get to it.
So, something happened to me yesterday that immediately made me do the kind of like, turn my head slightly and go, wait, what is this?
Did it feel like a sneeze, but better?
So much better. I had just been texting a coworker. I have this children's toy thing that she's outgrown, and I was like, hey, dude, do you want to buy this thing for super cheap? I'm trying to get rid of it. He's like, yeah. So the text was like, hey, I just bought this thing for $100 a couple months ago. Do you want it for 15?
For 15?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the life of fucking kids' toys, dude.
What?
Yes. Not kidding. This is real deal.
$100?
Yeah.
I haven't gotten past this yet.
Yeah.
What was it? A Blu-ray player?
It's a... My little baby, she's got to have the... I'm hoping to get a TV for her, but right now she's just got that Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
It's a thing she like sits in and bounces sort of deal, but now she's too big for it.
Oh, God. Your baby's only 9 months old.
But the thing is, if I were to bring it to the place to sell it, they would give me like $7 for it.
That's crazy to me.
And then they would sell it for like $25 or something like that.
So I sent him this text message, and I was like, hey, man, I'm selling this thing for – he's got a brand new baby girl, and my daughter's outgrown this thing. And I was like, hey, I just bought this thing for like 100 bones. Do you want to buy it for like $15? And he's like, yeah.
What is a bone-to-buck exchange rate?
But one-to-one, baby.
One-to-one.
One-to-one? Bones-to-bucks. That is the name of my new resale shop, Bones-to-Bucks. I was like, you want to buy it for $15? He's like, how about 15 bones? He's like, done. Deal.
Fantastic. One to one, baby.
I love it. So I send the text, and that's fine. And then I open up the Reddit app, as I usually do. I peruse through some bullshit, and it opens up this, the Imgur website that hosts images. And then on their little pop-up ad in the website, it's like, hey, use this website to sell your stuff.
Yeah.
Now, that's what made me turn my head and say, wait a minute. Are you monitoring my text messages, Reddit?
Oh, shit.
Because I did not do a web search about how much this thing, or like, selling used children's stuff. You know, we're like, all I did was send a like 2 to 3 exchange. Hey, man, you want to buy this thing? Money, yes, great, done. And now it's like, hey, you're talking about selling stuff?
Oh, I'm like, God,
who the fuck is this guy? No one invited this guy into this conversation. And I immediately got online and started to look up. I was like, what permissions does the Reddit app have that I may not be familiar with? And it's like, ooh, man, I do not like this at all. It's like, is this the point where I delete you? Do I delete this app that I use all the time?
Oh, boy, because it's like that that creepy office coworker that's always just lurking, and then one day he's like, so, Steve, I heard that your baby girl's teeth are coming in. Like, how do you know this?
Listen, Gary, that is information you're not supposed to have.
They are always named Gary.
Always fucking Gary. Oh, hey, how was, I know you guys went out to the bar last weekend. How was that?
What?
Gary! Jesus, no!
How were those nachos you ordered at the bar?
Jesus Christ, Gary! I know they only put 6 jalapenos on there, and you're more of an 8 jalapeno man.
That lullaby you were singing to your baby girl was very pretty. What's the name?
Gary, I'm very scared of you. Very scared of you. I will tell you all the things that you need to know to not harm me and my family. That's fine, Gary. That's fine. Yeah, man, I do not like that stuff, man. I do not like when, you know, you're perusing something online and you go somewhere else. You're like, hey, here's an advertisement for the thing that you just looked up on YouTube. I'm like,
yeah,
I don't like it, but fine, I get it, whatever. But it's like different apps within my own phone, and one of the apps being text messaging.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
No, that's too much. I get the targeted advertising because they don't want to, you know, they know what you like. They're I don't want to get ads for breast pumps. You know what I mean? Yeah. But ads for Domino's pizza. I mean, I could maybe use it. Maybe
every once in a while, that is helpful to me.
Yeah, exactly.
But it makes me wonder what the, and I don't mean to, you know, get into a huge conversation about internet security and privacy rights and all that kind of stuff. But it does, it, like I said, it does get my gears moving in my head. I'm like, what else is being monitored that, like, they're just collecting? And actually, so the owner of the company that I work for, his son works for Facebook, as in, like, he works on their, you know, amazing campus in San Francisco. And so I was talking to my boss. He was telling me about his trip out there. And I have not used Facebook in several years at this point, but I still have my profile thing for whatever reason.
God, I wonder how many new notifications you have now.
I could have told you 2 days ago because I actually logged into Facebook.
Oh, boy.
To delete my account for real.
Okay.
Because when I was talking to the owner of my company, he was telling me, he's like, oh, man, this and that, and the amount of data that they collect and this. I was like, Mr. O, I got to tell you, this was not the purpose of what you were trying to tell me, but you totally reignited that fire for me to just completely delete Facebook 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. So that is it. And apparently, when you delete your account with Facebook, they say it takes 14 days.
What?
14 days.
Why?
Like, really? Facebook. One of the biggest, you know, tech giants in the world, and you can collect a billion points of data every second, but you can't delete little old me out for 2 weeks?
Nope, Steve, too complicated.
Is that right?
That's too complicated, Steve. You can't just delete a page.
Oh, weird, because it seems like you could.
Nah, it's way too complicated to delete one page.
By the way, are you selling some shit to your coworker?
Facebook? How did you know?
Oh, man, I hate it. I hate it.
Oh, boy. Not Steve, good. That sucks. That's actually kind of creepy, to be honest.
And it's probably happening to you, too.
I know, and I send a lot of sexts, so I can't wait to log into my Reddit app. Be like, hey, have you visited this porno site?
It's like, hey, by the way, what about this particular lubrication, huh?
Hey, oh, well, actually, that's useful to me.
It smells like bananas.
Banana lube?
Oh, man. That is clickbait if I've ever seen it.
Where do I sign? Ooh, a banana lube monthly.
Yeah, so I had that going on, and I have a surprise kind of trip all of a sudden kind of fall in my lap as well.
Oh, that must be painful.
Yeah, it is. It's heavy. The entire state of North Carolina just fell in my lap. And crippled. I'm a crippled man now.
Well, you look good.
Thank you.
No.
Feel good?
Thank you.
I have to go to work mid of next month. To North Carolina for a couple of days for a training thing.
Oh, nice.
And so the thing is over on Thursday. And I was like, hey, is it cool if I just stay for Friday and then, like, move my flight out to Sunday and then my wife and child can come down and we just make a weekend? He's like, I don't care.
Shut up.
Shut up and do it. I don't care. Then he punched me really hard. He's like, hey, by the way, you selling something to your coworker? I'm like,
God damn it.
Come on, man.
Then Gary pops up like, oh, so you're going to North Carolina?
Gary! So if anyone has any good tips for cool shit to do in Charlotte, North Carolina for a couple of days, looked up a couple like walking food tour things,
okay,
which sound pretty cool. One of the big things that comes up when you're like, yep, things to do in Charlotte. They're like, hey, you gotta check out this NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Oh, you gotta.
You gotta do it. And I was like, I really don't think I gotta do it. And then for some reason I scrolled, they're like, look, I don't give a shit about NASCAR, but this thing is actually really pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, those are the kind of things that suck me in. Oh no.
Wait, you actually dig cars. Why does this not excite you?
Because I like production cars. I don't give a shit about dudes making left-hand turns at 180 miles an hour for 5 hours.
Ooh, strong words, Steve. Strong words.
I went to a NASCAR event once. My wife and I got tickets for free, and we went. And I'm glad I went, like, to experience the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was a thing. After we were done, I was not like, yes, that dude is my driver, getting, like, number 88. That's my boy.
I don't think it'll surprise you to let you know that I went to a couple NASCAR events when I was a kid.
Shock.
Right? Shock. Yes, I know.
Little Wes in rural Illinois went to a NASCAR event. Weird.
I know, right? And the only exciting parts were when people drove off the track.
Right? Yeah, oh, you're just waiting for crashes, man.
That's it.
That's all you're doing.
I don't care.
And you're guaranteed when you're there that when the crash happens, you are either in the bathroom or, like, eating nachos and, like,
God damn it!
Like, okay, no, come on! Yeah, it's... So, I don't think I'll be making it to the NASCAR Museum.
It's only $75 a ticket, Steve.
Well, for that kind of price. this is serious. If anyone has, you know, a suggestion of something cool that's kind of off the beaten path in Charlotte, they're like, oh, man, go eat this, go check out this thing, take a walk by the, you know, whatever, the river. I mean, I don't even know what's there. But if you got something cool to do in Charlotte, please let me know, because I'm going to be there in about a month. Okay. And I want to do the cool stuff in a couple days. So
sure, and really hit the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the most important thing for me is going to the NASCAR Hall of Fame every day I'm there.
Because you can't hit it all in just one day.
I mean, and then I want to make sure I do the same exact loop so everything really sets in for me.
Well, you can only take left turns.
It's the only way around.
Yeah, that's exactly. It.
So, yeah, if anyone's got any cool Charlotte stuff, let me know.
Cool. Steve, I have a quick recommendation for you. Have you...
Shut the fuck up.
I know I recommend it every podcast, but you've never taken me up on it. No. So, a long, long time ago, you recommended me some animes, and I would like to recommend you an anime. Have you ever watched Death Note?
No. I know that when I started to watch a couple of animes, I was looking for the best things on Netflix or whatever, and that showed up a lot.
Yeah. So, Death Note, for those who don't know, it's about a notebook that when you write down someone's name in it, that person dies. And this notebook lands in the hands of probably one of the smartest people in the whole world. And so he just starts writing down criminals' names for a sense of justice. And it is so good, and so many twists and turns, and only 37 episodes. I think it's a complete story because I'm on episode 33, so I'm almost done. Almost there.
When you say it's only 37 episodes, are we talking, are these like...
20 minutes.
20 minutes, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've almost knocked it out in 2 weeks.
Nice.
So, yeah, man, I strongly recommend it.
Actually, you know what? I am looking for, I need another kind of like 20-minute, you know, palate cleansing almost kind of show. So, it's been a while since I watched an anime as well. So, what's it called again?
Death Note.
Death Note, excellent.
And don't be confused with the Netflix, I think it's a movie?
But oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what got me interested in the anime. And I haven't seen an anime since high school, so it was kind of cool just to be like, oh, there's some cool, interesting stuff.
Did it inspire you to watch more anime once this is over, or are you going to kind of be like, I had a good time there, and I'm good for a while?
Well, I was actually going to ask you to re-recommend me those animes that you watched.
The one that I really liked a lot was Attack on Titan,
mm-hmm.
Which I watched... I think there's 2 seasons, I think, on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I really dug that a lot. And I've been thinking about that quite a bit because I watched everything except the last episode of the most recent season because I had to watch it on a website. But they wouldn't release that last episode. I was like, son of a bitch.
Oh, man, that sucks.
So, Attack on Titan. But if you're looking for something that's just really fun and ridiculous, and it's not as in-depth, was One Punch Man.
I've heard of that one, too.
Yeah, One Punch Man, especially the first couple episodes, are super fun.
All right, I want to throw it out there to the five and outers out there. If you have any good recommendations for animes on Netflix, shoot them at me, and I would love to take a look at them. I don't know how long this anime kick will go for, but knowing me, it'll be going on for a while.
Nice. Wes, this last week, my wife and I found ourselves watching an episode or two of the classic game show Family Feud.
Family Feud.
Do today on this episode of Family Feud. And we had just a great time playing along with Family Feud. So I was like, you know what? I want to throw a Family Feud question over at Wes this week. So found a tasty one for you here.
Ooh, a tasty one.
So the rules are the same as always. And for those playing along at home, you're going to get three X's. You get three wrong answers.
Oh, thank God. I thought you meant like three ex-girlfriends.
Yep. So bring them on out on Team Wes and his ex-girlfriends.
Oh, no.
So you're going to get, you have three wrong answers, but you have to get the top five up on the board. And the question, we polled, I don't know, a trillion people. I had a very, very busy week.
Wow.
What one thing would you want to have with you if you got stranded on a desert island?
A raft.
A raft. Show me raft. Ba-ding! Boat slash vehicle. That is number three on the board. 17 billion people.
That was number one?
That was number three.
Oh, okay. So obviously food. You wouldn't want to have that with you on a desert island.
Apparently food is a luxury people are not willing to have.
How about clean water?
Clean water. Show me clean water. Ding! Number two. 22 billion people said they'd love some clean water. So you have one strike against you. You've got number two and three of five on the board.
Shelter.
Shelter.
House. Home.
House. Better homes and gardens.
Yeah, amazing.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
Wes, how dare you think food and shelter? Are you some sort of fucking idiot? That's two X's. Two answers on the board, two X's. Wes, you got to get three.
So what do I have? Clean water,
yeah, clean
and a
water.
Boat, and I'm missing the number one?
You're missing the number one answer.
And which food and shelter isn't number one.
That is correct.
What? I bet it's going to be something. This isn't my guess, but I bet it's going to be something stupid like a pet.
Mr. Bigglesley is the number one answer.
The only other thing I could think of is like cell phone and reception.
Number one answer.
Is it really?
It is phone slash radio. Number one. So you got your one, your two, your three. That was 23 billion people said that they would like that. That means, Wes, you've got the final two answers, and you only have one X to get them.
I take it it's not these last two answers aren't a person. Like Bear Grylls isn't going to be on the board.
You know what? I'll give it to you. It says another person.
Oh, okay.
Is the number five answer.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So, Wes, down to it. You've got one shot to get the number four answer.
Ooh. A gun or a weapon. Knife?
Yes!
I did it!
Knife slash tool. Number four. Well done, Wesley.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All right, Steve. Well, I have one for you. Are you ready?
Oh, no. Damn it.
This is an easy one. So if you miss one, you're an idiot.
Can't believe food and shelter were not... Well, I'll tell you what I got to have. I have got to have my phone.
I got to have another person so I can kill and eat them for food.
Wouldn't you just rather some food? No. Okay.
Oh, actually, this might be tricky. Anyway, so name a public place where you're likely to catch a cold or flu bug.
Okay.
Top seven answers on the board.
Seven. Jesus, don't you know what show we do? to catch a cold or flu bug. Okay,
yes.
How about The Office?
Ooh.
The place of employment.
Yeah, that's actually number seven.
Number seven?
That's number seven.
How about school?
That's number one.
Okay. How about on the bus or like the train?
Okay, public transportation,
public
number
transit,
five.
Number five, okay. How about... From your own, is it locations or from people? Is that
public place?
Public place. Okay.
You have one. You have five. You have seven. You're missing two, three, four, and six.
How about at a restaurant?
Oh boy. First wrong answer.
Public place where you getting the germs.
You getting that germs all over you.
That's probably not a thing. This will actually, the answer I was about to give would really fit into our top five. I was about to say it, a public phone, but that's not a thing anymore.
So that's not your guess?
No, that is not my guess.
Okay.
Is the doctor's office count?
That is number four.
All right.
Doctor's surgery slash office.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Public place where I'm getting sick.
Numbers 2, 3, and 6 still on the board.
Oh boy. Oh boy. God.
Public place.
Park?
Oh.
Why? And all that open space? Germs love big open spaces. Fresh air, a breeze. That is Germ City, my man. Oh, this God. List is stupid.
Okay, 2, 3, and 6 still on the board.
Boy.
You have 2 X's.
Boy.
One wrong answer remaining. I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
You're missing kind of an obvious one.
A hospital?
That's number 2!
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if, like, doctor's office kind of bled in with hospital or not. Okay.
Sure, sure.
I mean, how about just kids? I know it's not a public place, but they are just little germ factories.
Ah, that's why school was number 1.
I know. I'm trying to think of another. I guess I don't go to public places. I don't want to be around these sick weirdos.
I don't know. My wife's room when she's sick.
I don't know.
Number 3 and 6 still on the board.
Yeah, I buzz myself. I don't know.
You don't know?
Yeah.
Number 3, airplane.
Oh, okay.
Number 6, shopping center or mall.
Okay. 2 places I don't go. So,
but you will be going when you go to North Carolina.
That's right. I'm going to be on the Germ Factory airplane so I can get to the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Which was number 8, but didn't make the list.
Well done, Wes. Well done.
Steve, I'm sorely disappointed in your lack of knowledge of public places.
I never realized how stupid I am.
See,
just in general, until this moment.
Oh, God. Well, I'll tell you what. We have time for one email, and you know what? Since we're back, we have to read an email from Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines. He says, glad to hear you guys are back. He has a question. Would you say that the VR version of RE7, Resident Evil 7, has finally made you feel like your purchase of a PS4 was worthwhile? I know you were both iffy on it for a long time. I personally think I was on board with a PS4 a long time ago when I discovered indie games on the PlayStation Store. I don't have a lot of time to play it nowadays, but when I do, I've thought for a long while that the PS4 was worth it. Steve, your thoughts?
I don't think it's worth it.
Still don't?
No. And had I not made a PC and that was my only source of gaming, I would be much higher on it. But I was thinking about it the other day. I'm like, man, since I bought a PS4, I've played, like, I don't know, 6 games on it. And there's only a couple games that I'm really disappointed I've not played. Like, I haven't played Zero Dawn Horizon yet, which I really, really want to play.
Mm-hmm, me too.
But, no, man, if I go back and not buy my PS4, I would probably not buy my PS4.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What if it came with the PlayStation VR and Resident Evil 7?
No.
Still no?
No.
Steve, it's terrifying.
Oh, right. That's why I'm not buying it.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
No, I think it is a superior console system to the X-Bone, mm-hmm. But I'm just, yeah, I like buying good older, like, I'm just catching up on a lot of old stuff on the PC, and it just works better for my life right now. So that's what, it's not really a knock on the PS4 as much as it is that I've just kind of transitioned away from console for the last 2 years, basically.
Sure, sure. So. That's a big no from Steve and a big yes from me.
That's right.
So his top 5, he says, leaving out Little Shop of Horrors.
Since well, what was the top 5 again?
Oh, the top 5 was top 5 stage-to-screen adaptation.
That's right.
Thank you, Steve. I'm an idiot. My top 5, leaving out Little Shop of Horrors since it was on Wes's list, and Amadeus since it was on Steve's. Honorable mention goes to the Jeffrey Rush and Liam Neeson adaptation of Les Mis. His number 5.
Really? Oh, I've never seen that one.
He says he disqualified it since it is a straight adaptation of the novel instead of the stage musical.
Ah, okay.
So, he said, number 5, Into the Woods.
Not Out of the Woods.
Not Out of the Woods, Into the Woods.
Okay. Holly really dug that movie. I was lukewarm on it.
He says, Sondheim film adaptations are never perfect, and sometimes they are a horrific Tim Burton clusterfuck of ruining Sweeney Todd bullshit that has on way too many best adaptations lists. Thank you!
Absolutely correct. Spit that truth, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines!
Oh! But this is the closest one has gotten. I've got some nitpicks, but overall, it was very enjoyable.
Okay.
His number 4, Strange Brew.
Strange Brew.
If Steve's going to cheat by putting on a loose adaptation of Taming of the Shrew, then I'm definitely going to cheat and put on this loose adaptation of Hamlet, starring Dave Thomas, not of Wendy's fame, and Rick Moranis as Bob and Doug McKenzie, and main villain Max von Sydow. Sydow? Sydow. Max von... Who knows?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know what this film is.
Me either, but I want to go see it now.
Yeah. His number 3 is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah. Yeah, but if I recall, go ahead with his explanation first.
I didn't even know this was a stage adaptation before researching this list, but it's a damn fine film either way.
Yeah, I think that it is a pretty heavily rewritten adaptation, I believe. It's obviously a phenomenal film,
mm-hmm.
but I left it off because I don't know what your percentage of, like, straight adaptation is, I suppose.
Sure. I saw it when I was way too young to understand it, so I think I need to go back and watch it again.
It's great. Great acting in that movie. It's fantastic.
Sure. That's the one with the Nurse Ratched, right?
Correct.
And Jack Nicholson.
Correct.
Got
Danny,
it.
A very young Danny DeVito is in it.
What?
Yes.
Crazy. All right. His number 2 is Throne of Blood. How do you make Shakespeare even better? Turn Macbeth into a motherfucking Akira Kurosawa samurai epic.
Yes.
I cannot argue with that.
Correct, sir.
God, don't you miss how Duncan Parker Newton Gaines always makes our list seem so stupid?
Actually, no.
No, actually, I don't.
I don't like feeling stupid, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
His number 1 is Hamlet.
The Mel Gibson one?
Kenneth
Branagh one.
Kenneth Branagh version of Hamlet is 4 hours long. I damn near wore out the double VHS set. Damn near wore out the double VHS, God damn it, VHS tape set of it we owned when I was in high school.
There he is.
Oh my God. I can read, guys. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, it is the definitive, you know, film Shakespeare piece, period. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
So, well done. Well, good list. And I'm glad to see that Kenneth Branagh still is affecting the movie industry now, more from the directing and writing part, less acting, but he's still giving us the good stuff.
Didn't he do Thor?
Yes.
That's right.
Yep.
And Thor was very enjoyable.
Yes, absolutely. Good list, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Good list, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
You are a smart motherfucker, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
God, thank you so much for mentioning Sweeney Todd.
Oh, it's terrible.
Sweeney Todd sucks. I hated it so much.
And I just don't like Johnny Depp. Tim Burton can suck it. And, wait, what?
And Helena Bonham Carter, just get out of here.
Honestly, and the three of them, like, get out of here.
Actually, I really enjoy Helena Bonham Carter.
Fine. Fine. But I hate when she gets involved with those other two chumps.
Yeah.
Like, Johnny Depp seems to be, like, the guy that, like, rolls up to you, like, you're sitting there eating lunch, and he's like, hey, guys, I have this awesome idea. It's like, Jesus, are you drunk? This is brunch. It's like, no, we're going to do this amazing version of it. I'm like, Johnny Depp, please get the fuck away from my booth. And just, he's got weird necklaces, and he's talking about doing, like, an adaptation of, like, a guitar. Like, what does that even mean? What are you talking about?
I have an idea for that adaptation. He just puts a jar of mustard on the table.
It's like, look into it. Look into this mustard.
Yeah.
What? No, really. Look into it. Johnny Depp, you and Tim Burton, go do whatever the fuck you're going to do with your mustard guitar somewhere else.
You smell of cigarettes and pretension.
Oh,
get out of here.
God. Johnny Depp, he hasn't done anything good in like 12 years.
Yeah, but remember when?
Yeah. Sure. When I was a preteen.
Yep.
And he's got weird facial hair. He's a weird dude. I'm out.
We're done talking about him.
Done. All right, top five Johnny Depp fuck-ups. Speaking of our top five, Steve, what is this week's top five?
We're calling this one Back in My Day.
You have to say it like that, too.
Have to. So we're talking about stuff that we had to do when we were youths,
mm-hmm.
that or things we had to work for that our future children, our current children, will never have to deal with. And they'll say, what? What? Similar to the, like, back in my day, the milkman came and we left him a nickel on the doorstep.
How dare you?
What? That can't be real. Or more appropriately, that it won't be on our list, but like, we used to have to print MapQuest directions. You know, like,
yeah.
My daughter, when, you know, 16, 17 years from now, when she's driving, God forbid, no one is going to be like, here you go, sweetheart, I printed you a MapQuest. Like, that's not going to happen.
And if there was a last-minute detour from construction, you were boned.
No way. Like, oh, boy. Yep. I guess I'm not going to get there then.
Better turn around. If only I had printed out these MapQuest directions in reverse.
So that's what we're talking about. Stuff that that's going to make us sound old to our kids, that sort of thing.
Now, I don't know how you approached your list, but I tried to steer clear. I mean, for most of my list, I try to steer clear of the blatantly obvious ones that everybody talks about. I try to go for the deep cuts.
Deep cuts.
I mean, so I got a few on there, and I also try to stay away from political stuff and say things like the environment, the right to protest, you know, those things.
Right.
Yes. So, Steve, I can't remember who started last week, but why don't you start us off with your number five?
You son of a bitch. All right, so I'm going, this is, I think, a kind of deep cut. I got a couple broad strokes on mine as well, but I got a couple specific deep cuts.
Sure.
Like the following. Mm. Wes, I know now at our elevated ages.
Ooh, yes.
That we now talk about things like 401ks and retirement and...
Ooh, insurance.
But I'll tell you what, I was saving for my retirement when I was just a wee young man.
Mm-hmm.
I invested very heavily in a currency of baseball and basketball cards.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of this one.
So it's not card collecting. It is the Beckett magazine. Do you remember those?
No.
I know you weren't a big sports guy, youth, if you will, but Beckett magazine was the thing that came out with all of the prices every month for the various cards, what they were worth. Every single month, that's what it was for. So, like, you'd go and you'd buy your pack of cards, whatever it was. You'd be like, oh, I got this, like, Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, whatever it is. And then you would reference it to the Beckett, and you'd be like, okay, this is a 2001. God, I was not in high school when I was doing that. More like a 1994. I was like, okay, 1994, tops, this series of card. And then you'd scroll down their list to look for, like, card number 323, Ken Griffey Jr., and then you'd look over and you'd see what the value of the card was.
Yeah.
And, like, they'd have a little green arrow or a red arrow, green going up, of, like, it's increased over, you know, since last month, or it's on the downward slope, whatever it was. So I can't tell you how many endless hours I spent just, like, flipping through my card collection and referencing it with the Beckett guide to see, and, like, God, talk about just so stupid. Like, I'd have these cards that are worth 30, 40 bucks at the time or something. I'd be like, oh, man, I can't get rid of these. If they're $30 now, by the time I'm a grown, it's going to be worth, like, $1 billion.
Oh, my God. You just made me think of something else.
Oh, my God, dude. My poor mother spent so much money on baseball and basketball cards when I was a kid. And then for a while I played, like, Magic when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh my God, I have the Leviathan. The Leviathan's worth $17.
Oh, wow.
Like, and by the way, it's not worth $17 unless someone pays $17 for it. You can throw that number in a book somewhere, but no one's actually buying it for that.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask if you ever sold anything based on that.
No, I was. Because, dude, I thought it was an investment. I thought these things we're only going to, like, I put them in cases. You know, they're the protective shells. And, like, you know, you have the Ken Griffey Jr. card that's worth $45. So you spend $20 on, like, the hard plastic case with the screws in it.
Oh, my
so
God.
So nothing can get to it. The thing is, like, it's worth more for, like, recycling now than it is.
Like, nowadays, if you try to sell it, it's just a thin piece of cardboard, sir.
It's worth nothing. They're worth nothing. Because what they did, I then, like, read about this later, is the era that I started collecting cards, like, late 80s, early 90s, became, like it's basically like the housing crisis is basically what happened with cards. That's when they are like, great, we're going to produce an unlimited amount of these cards.
Oh, wow.
The amount of, like, if you look at a graph of the amount of, like, trading cards that were produced, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, in the 40s, the 50s, 60s, it escalates, and then 80s into 90s, it is, like, the whole thing just went on roids. Just, shoo, like, through the roof.
Oh, jeez.
They produced millions and millions and millions of cards, and they are worth nothing.
Now, my question is, who set these prices? Who said this?
I don't know how Beckett was the one that I don't know the formula that went into determining, like, rarity and, you know, what, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that was the thing that determined the value of cards.
That's
so
crazy.
My daughter, our future children, I'll be like, hey, why didn't you go buy that monthly magazine to reference the value of your cardboard? That's not happening.
Yeah, I used to have a bunch of trading cards, too, even though I never watched the actual sports. It was just, you know, other kids at my school were collecting them. And I'm like, Mom, can you please buy those for me? I had no idea who these people were. Didn't even know what those stats on the back meant. So, didn't they used to have, like, mini bios on the back, too?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely, man.
They fit a lot in that little stupid piece of cardboard.
God. I would be horrified to find out how much money my mother spent on cards for me in my youth. Like, Mom, you should have told me no. Reasonably invest this in an index fund for the next 30 years.
All right. That's a good number five. My number five may be only in small towns. My number five was scalding hot playground equipment.
Actually, I think this is my number four. Is this my number four?
Is it your number four?
Hold on. Yes, my number four is good playground equipment.
Yes. No. So back in my hometown, back when I was young enough to be on this, the slide in my hometown, it was just sheets of metal together. And in the baking hot sun, that thing would sear your legs straight off.
I would have to guess the temperature on a good summer day on that slide, 140 degrees.
Oh, at least
140 degrees. Like,
I think my mom cooked breakfast on that before we got on it.
Okay, so we're going to have lunch. We're going to have grilled cheese. I'll throw this on the slide.
What? We had to use to take towels and blankets to the playground so we could go down without getting third-degree burns on our legs.
Yeah, and so you would sear your skin on the way down, mm-hmm. and then you would fall down to the ground with, like, big-ass chunks of rock.
Oh, we had wood chips.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See?
Yeah, there
safety
was...
Safety first.
So, very close to my number four, which I said is good playground equipment, because... Again, you can, like, this is a thing where you can talk about, like, with our parents, too. We're like, yeah, for our playground, we had spikes. We had poisonous spikes.
We had the pit of spiders.
I don't know. Did you guys have the swings to doom? Where, like, the chains were, like, 75 feet long. And when you went to jump off, it was like jumping off a four-story building. So, like, they got a little safer at our age.
We just had columns with chains attached, and they would just keep spinning at speeds.
Did you guys have the treacherous knight? What is, you know, the guy with the sword that showed up? Mom, are you telling me that a knight just chased children with a sword? Oh, that was the best game.
Yeah. Oh, our mom and dad used to be there, like, look at our kids have fun.
Oh, man. So when we, like, our swings weren't 75 feet of chain, but I had a good, I don't know, 20 feet of chain.
Oh, yeah.
You know, easily 20 feet with some rusty paint on there.
Oh, yeah, and our dumbasses would try to swing ourselves over the top bar.
Of course you would. That's exactly what you do.
And of course you get as high as you can and jump up and pray not to break your legs.
And, like, I still had half of my playground when I was at school was wood, and half the other playground, I think I was in third grade, and they just bought, like, this plastic and metal set that was much safer, but still cool. There was still, like, the fireman's pole, and, yeah, like, there was still cool shit that you could totally hurt yourself on.
Oh, sure.
Totally.
Sure.
And now, when I go for a walk around the parks here and I see playground equipment now, like, hello, welcome to the mattress.
This slide is made of pillows.
It's like, what? Welcome to the feather toss. We have one feather, and it is on a velour strap. And then you can bat it in between each other as long as you're no more than a foot apart from each other. What?
Our swings are just chairs.
What? That's not a swing.
Yes, it is. You can rock back and forth. It's a swing.
It's a chair.
No, see the chains that don't go anywhere? It's a swing.
Dude, current, and apparently this is a thing now, that instead of just having, like, open wood chips or, you know, like pea gravel or just, God forbid, like cement.
Yeah.
Or pits of spikes.
Oh, yeah.
They have these, like, almost, it's like a mound sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And they occur every 5 feet or so. So kids cannot run. They're like gigantic running speed bumps.
I haven't seen this.
Yes. They are all over the place, man.
Jesus. Well, I mean, a lot of kids got injured when I was a kid.
Yeah, of course you did. Welcome to real fucking life. Playground style.
I just remembered my solid steel jungle gym that was, you know, put in over a thing of concrete.
Yep.
Just so many kids breaking, just falling, yep, breaking their bones.
Absolutely.
Busting their teeth.
Yeah. So now apparently if you want to play tag on your playground or around your playground, you have to work around these gigantic mounds.
I don't even, is it just so, just to slow kids down?
Honestly, I've not asked a playground designer of what it is for, but my wife and I are walking by, I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, and
I'm,
man,
like, I think this is to prevent kids from running around the equipment too fast. I really think that's what it's for.
Oh, geez.
If someone knows otherwise what it's for, please let me know, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
That's so lame.
Yeah.
I mean, I would much rather have had wood chips under the jungle gym,
yes,
than concrete.
Yes.
But we don't need mounds to slow children down from running.
No, and now, like, the highest equipment is, it's like 3.5 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like, you want to do the monkey bars? AKA walk and touch this bar above your head? Like, come on, what?
The slide is just this path on the ground.
Yeah. Where, like, when you walk on this path, say, wee! Isn't that fun? So I can't even imagine when our children become parents, what their children are going to be playing on.
Yeah.
It's just going to be like a virtual reality thing. It's,
oh,
really,
sure,
what it's going to be.
Oh, sure.
Oh, man.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking about this jungle gym on concrete. I wonder how many children had to break their bones before they're, should we do something about this?
Some sort of padding, I don't know.
And everyone's like, no, back in my day, we had spikes.
These kids got it easy.
Yeah. And a rabid knight that would chase us with a sword.
All right, so we kind of had joint fours there.
That's my number five.
Number five. Okay, so then, what? So that was my number four then. So what's your number four?
Okay, my number four is buy alarm clocks.
Would you say buy alarm clocks, as in the act of purchasing them?
Well, alarm clocks in general. A clock. A clock that you had to buy specially just so you could set an alarm.
Yeah. No, that is correct. When was the last time you used an alarm clock?
Never.
No.
Okay. Probably since before I had a smartphone, or a cell phone at all, I think.
Did you just wake up by the sun?
Yeah, I woke up by the sun. I had a pet rooster. His name was Freddy. And I wound up having to eat him on that desert island.
Because I couldn't get cell phone reception.
Exactly. No, it had to be maybe high school. Maybe I had one in college before I had a cell phone with the
yeah,
ability to have.
I had one throughout high school because I had. I think I bought one in like junior high, and then I just kept it through high school. And then when I went to college, I was like, no,
yeah,
I'm not bringing this.
I, you know what? I think I had it the first couple years in college too.
Okay,
it's you try to explain that to your child, maybe my future child, and they're going to be, first of all, we'll have to explain clocks to them.
You mean the thing, like the microwave? Was it a microwave?
No. It was, no. This thing was just for telling time.
Like a watch.
Oh, yes. And that's also a wristwatch. That's gone, I think.
No.
Wristwatches?
No, I wear one every day.
Well, that's because you're old.
I am old, but watches are big. I know this is coming off your alarm clock. Watches are a status symbol / fashion accessory, and now tech accessory.
Ah, I forgot about the Apple
Watch. So that's why watches aren't going anywhere, because they're a way to be like, by the way, I make a shit ton of money, and now you know it, like, without having to say a thing.
I didn't think about that. But
no one is like, check out this alarm clock!
So we explain clocks, and then we had to say, but we had to buy these specialty clocks that would wake us up. We had to set a specific time and try figuring that shit out without the instruction manual. Good luck.
Oh, man. And again, they'd be like, wait, so you just, you know, you punch the time in. You're like,
No.
You held down two buttons and let the time go.
Yep.
Up. I remember my alarm clock. It had two buttons that was, you could accelerate the time very quickly.
Yeah.
Or there was a one that was like, 1, 2, 3, four. So you could be more precise. Where the other one was like, blah, 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 blah. It's like, oh my God, I went 4 days in the future.
Oh man, if you overshot by 15 minutes, it's like, Jesus Christ, there goes another 15 minutes of my life.
Yeah, man, I have no desire to have an alarm clock in my house, nor do I ever have the desire. I think if I could pay, I would probably pay $50 right now. If like the heavens parted, and this is the only thing God came down and told me, he's like, hey, look, you give me $50 right now, I will promise you never hear the alarm clock noise again. The bat, bat,
oh my
bat,
God.
That noise. But yeah, $50 right now, I never hear it. Done.
An extra 50, I wake up feeling refreshed every single morning without the alarm as well.
I mean, I'd drop $5,000 on that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
But I'll spend $50 to just not hear that alarm.
Fair enough.
Man. Actually, real quick clock thing. The nanny that...
Is this clock corner right now?
Welcome to Steve's clock corner. Click, 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 click. Our nanny who watches our child... like, obviously, she was watching two kids, so she didn't always have her, like, phone on her, and she's trying to figure out how to, like, because we don't have a clock in the house, obviously, as we're talking about. And she's like, yeah, I just kind of lost track of time for whatever reason. And the other couple that has their son over, like, here, well, we bought you a clock. And they bought this little clock. It's only, like, 6 inches tall, like, 2 inches wide. And they put it on the table so our nanny just have a clock there. And the first day I came home, I sat down on my couch, and I go to turn the TV on, and I hear click, click, click of an actual second hand.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm throwing this away. I was like, I can hear every second of my life tick away. And like then my inner monologue was like, really, Steve? You're going to watch Family Feud today as your life, your precious time of life, clicks away. It's like, this clock is hitting me deep.
Yeah. Now, God damn, this 6-inch clock has me questioning my whole existence.
Yeah. So no clocks, man.
Okay.
No clocks.
That's my number four. Alarm clocks.
All right. Brings me my number three. Now, Wes, did you ever participate in Columbia House, or I think it was BMG, I think, music service back in the day?
I have no idea what you're saying.
Okay. You may not know it by name, but I know you know of it in practice. Mm-hmm. I'm sure young preteen Wes was the recipient of several thousand actual letters that were mailed to you. Not emails, actual packages of mail.
Yeah.
That were like, hey, Wes, how about 12 of your favorite CDs that you get to pick out for one penny.
Oh, wow.
All you have to do is buy one CD after that.
Yeah.
You get 12 for a penny. I got these things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All of the time. And, dude, it was – then I pulled the trigger. I did it.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. They had this huge, like do you remember when people actually used to put return mailing addresses on stuff, like the sticker on the envelope?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it had that, like, perforated edge.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave you this, like, catalog of thousands and thousands of CDs. And then on the perforated edge on the side, you pulled off, like, the sticker of the CD that you wanted, and you put 12 of them together, and you're like, you send them a check for, like, 12 cents.
Oh, my God.
And then, of course, it was, like, $25 shipping and handling.
Oh, sure.
But then they sent you back a stack of the 12 CDs that you want. You went through the catalog and picked out. Then you had to buy a CD, and this CD was like $29.
Oh,
of course. Something like that. But, I mean, our kids are not going to understand, like, physical media, period.
Yeah.
Much less receiving something in the mail to then buy 12 for a penny and then pay an exorbitant amount of money for one other one. And then, but the catch was, now you're part of their like, club. So they're going to automatically start sending you CDs every month. Unless you opted out in, like, the first week. Like, hey, by the way, we're going to send you this CD unless you let us know right fucking now that you don't want it. You'd be like, I don't want I'm sorry, too late. We already mailed to you. That's another $30 CD. Welcome to Kenny G Sings the Blues.
What?
Oh, God. But I know at least six of the CDs that I got from my original batch of 12.
Wow.
Yeah. It was, honestly... It was like the cornerstone upon which I built the rest of my music collection were those 12 CDs.
Give me the top two of those six.
I know for a fact, back in the day, I picked up 10, the debut album from Pearl Jam.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up Vitalogy from Pearl Jam.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up Live from New York, the Unplugged album from Nirvana. I picked up Third Eye Blind
mm-hmm.
with Semi-Charmed Kind of Life and Jumper and like those. Some of those albums, like... Classics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Classics that defined my musical taste for the rest of my life.
Sure, sure. I think this is an honorable mention of mine. Just the singles CDs, the CDs that are like $3 or $4 at Walmart.
Right.
That had one or two songs on them.
Yeah, the big hit plus a little
bonus ditty.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, what?
A single?
A single?
Like you just purchased... That one physical thing?
Yeah.
Instead of like, oh yeah, I get it. You downloaded a song. No, no.
No, no.
I drove to the store, and I didn't want to buy the whole CD, so I bought a song of the CD on a CD.
Yeah.
Like, Dad, you guys were fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You're right.
Well, it's all those times we fell off the jungle gym onto concrete.
Hey, it's what happens when you jump off a four-story swing set, okay?
Yeah. All right. You know what? If I ever received those in the mail, I never got them because my parents must have thrown them away.
Yeah, you missed out, man. You missed out.
Yeah, apparently. Sounds like it's a really good deal.
It was. It really was, actually.
But sure, that initial thing, but
no,
being opted in for the rest of your life.
No, because back in the day, when we, like, CDs were roughly $15 to $20, roughly, for a new release, whatever.
Sure.
$15, $20. So you got 13 CDs basically for $30.
Yeah.
And then you opt in that, like, I think once you opted out after, like, a couple of, then you're done. So you got, like, 13 CDs for basically whatever. Somewhere in that $50, rough in there.
Okay. Well, when you put it like that.
You know, the numbers, you know, I was a pretty smart investor, okay? I cashed in a couple of baseball cards, turned it into a couple CDs, okay? No big deal.
Right. And it was worth exactly 50 bones, as we know. So my number three is, I don't know for sure, but I think my number three is cursive. Learning cursive and spending months learning cursive. And they're going to be like, wait. You learned how to write, and then you learned another way to write?
A fancy way to write.
Yeah.
And then you never used it.
You never had to use it again except for maybe signatures?
Yeah. Honestly, you could... Like, welcome to Steve teaches second grade.
Yeah.
Cursive, gone. We're going to work on your signature for the next year.
I'm going to write your signature, and you just copy that.
Man, I wonder, do they still teach cursive?
I have no idea. I haven't been to second grade in a long time.
Wes, you have to get through second grade.
I'm sorry. I flunked out years ago, and I just haven't
I know,
gone back.
I know it really pushes you. I know it does. But that's good. That's good.
A cursive really, really got to me.
Embrace those challenges, man. They're going to help you grow.
Do you remember having to write full pages in fancy cursive?
Yes.
And having to turn those in? And you spent weeks and months on that.
So,
and you never, ever use it.
Never.
Never.
My wife writes in cursive.
Divorce her.
Holly, you heard it here first.
Yeah. How?
No,
how does she?
No court of law will hold me accountable for anything. I'll be like, Steve, I believe the charges are reckless endangerment of your wife and child. Excuse me, Your Honor. My wife writes in cursive. Jesus Christ! You monster! How could you? Oh, my God, and you let her have a child?
I think I tried. I can't remember how long ago this was, but a while ago. Just out of curiosity, I started writing down things in cursive to see if I remembered how to do it. It was hard, man. I really had to think.
I'll tell you what, though. I feel like cursive, no matter what you write, I mean, it makes it look schnazzy. No doubt about it.
Well,
Looks good.
When I did it, it looked like a second grader trying to write in cursive.
Well, technically, according to your transcripts, you are still a second grader. So,
like, what? Do you remember learning to write the R's, which is just like a weird mountain kind of?
What is your favorite cursive letter?
Z.
Z. Oh, a capital Z? Or a lowercase z?
The Z that almost looks like a G, but gets a little drunk in the middle.
Yes.
Go back up.
Yes. I love me a good capital cursive L.
Oh, when you get those little loop-de-loops.
The loop at the top, mm-hmm. Loop at the bottom. I like the motion of it. I like the way it looks.
Sure.
I like a good cursive L. Again, guys, obviously next week's top five. Top five cursive letters.
Yeah, man, I just realized no L's in your name.
No, no L's in my name. That is, hey, welcome to the party.
Is that why you married Holly, though?
Finally. Same day, capital H, lowercase O, big old L, big old L. And then, of course, just a printed Y.
Yeah, of course.
Seriously, when my wife leaves me a note in the morning, which she rarely does because she knows how bad this is. Like, she'll write a note. She'll, like, tape it on the bathroom door or something so I see it. And then I feel like a fucking idiot. I'll be like, Dave, okay, got it. Oh, boy.
I got to go back to bed.
I pour the dog.
I'm going to need to send this to the CIA's decoding facility.
So I just call him like, hey, you left me a note. What does it say? It is. And she writes cursive pretty well.
Yeah.
It's like reading a foreign language.
Yeah. You send it to the CIA's decoding facility like, what is this?
Like, my God, terrorism. This is obviously terrorism.
Totally.
Great.
Who writes like this?
Good pick.
Thank you.
You know what I kind of wish we would have now, though? Remember, also back in the day when we were learning cursive and learning how to write period, we had the, you know, the paper that was the two lines, but also the dotted line in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish we had that paper now, mm-hmm. almost as like a rubric over the top. So like, all right, now we write, we can all write better than we normally do. And then you like pull the side out and it pulls the middle line out or something. Like,
yeah.
Okay, there we go. Now we can all write better, but we don't look like we need second grade tools to do it.
Sure.
$1 million idea. Oh,
man, we're just full of them. Number three, cursive.
Number two, this is a broad topic, but I wish my daughter would have this, but she won't. And it goes on to what I was saying about earlier in this podcast. She will not have privacy.
Interesting.
She won't have privacy.
Yeah.
Everything is tracked.
Yeah.
Everything is known.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as as like she's going to be a nightmare teenage girl because she eventually will be a teenage girl, so she'll be a nightmare. That's just that's how the equation goes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's math. You can't change it.
Teenage girl equals nightmare. Nightmare teenage girl.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So, of course, she's probably going to send some shitty message about one of her friends. Like, oh, my God, Wes is such a bitch. And then her friend's going to be like, why are you talking about your elderly uncle? that's a weird thing to be texting me. But then she's going to, like, then her friend is going to show you the text, and she's going to be like, oh, shit, there's a, like, that's, that is tracked. Be like, hey, where were you, like, what time did you get in last night? Yeah. I was here by 10 o'clock. Well, I'll just check the home security and this, oh, looks like you got in at 11:30, little Cobra Jones,
mm-hmm.
You know, or, no, I didn't do that. Well, I know I can track where your phone was last night. I know that you went out over there.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Like, she's going to live in a world where she's going to post stupid shit when she's a teenager because she's a stupid teenager, and then you're going to be able to reference it when you're 30.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, all the stupid shit that we did when we were teenagers, nobody knows about.
Oh, my God, man, please, no.
Mm-hmm.
So she's gonna live in a world where there's always a camera around her. Always.
Yep. Yep.
Ready to take a shot, where there's a GPS on her all of the time.
Yeah.
Like, where everyone, like, Google is going to know what she has searched from like, looking up Bob the Train to, you know, to, like, to eventually be like Dora the Explorer and now hardcore German pornography.
Yeah, totally.
Google is going to have her stuff from the word go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, like, that is one thing where I'm like, hey, that was better in my day.
Yeah.
That was way better in my day.
I was much better able to sneak out.
Yeah. So,
the only way, and maybe I shouldn't say this, the only way that she can get around you being able to track her is to get another secret phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let me tell you right now, that's not going to go over well.
Yeah, if you find that, oh, boy.
Man, and that also kind of, you know, opens the whole, like, nightmare scenario of teenagers with technology sort of thing. And like, but more importantly from that, a thing that we had that she will not have is privacy.
Yeah. It's just that, man, I didn't even really think about this, but because I currently don't have a kid. It's, you know, she goes out drinking or smoking or whatever, and those pictures are going to be posted somewhere.
Yeah. And actually, there was a good example today. A friend of mine, there was a particularly rough situation with a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend sort of deal. And like, oh, you're doing illicit acts with another person that you shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
You're married. And then someone just looks into their Facebook timeline and be like, well, when was the last photo posted with you and this other person? And they kind of figured out a timeline of how this whole thing went just by referencing their Facebook feed.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God. Like, there's, oh, man.
That's, yeah, that's a good pick.
Yeah.
Didn't think about it.
Yeah.
Number two, privacy, right?
Yep.
My number two, and this, again, may just be me. So, for those of you who don't know, from ages, like, 1 to 10, I lived on basically rural farmland. On a gravel road, the nearest house was like a half mile away. And so my number two is I don't think I'll be able to to explain to my kids crippling boredom. Because there would be days when, you know, I'm half mile away from the nearest house, miles away from the nearest child. There's nothing good on TV in the four channels that we had.
Right.
Mom's on the phone, so I can't call anybody. I guess I can play Nintendo and get to the same spot in Mario 2 for the next half hour. There just comes a point when you're like, I guess I'll just go outside and lay in the grass.
I guess I'll just go poke stuff.
Just bake in the sun. Like, I guess I can play with the septic tank. Like, what do you do? I guess I can play with the wild cats in our barn.
What? Good Lord. I'll tell you right now, I am not a child. But if you were trying to explain to me, back in my day, we played in the septic tank. That is a tough sell, man. That's a tough sell. I was so bored. I crawled into a pit of my family shit. Oh my god. That you're right. That's a tough sell. Oh man.
And eventually got so bad that my parents finally built like a mini playground set in the backyard. But until then, it was just like, I guess I'll just go outside and hit trees with a stick. I don't know.
Man, I'll tell you what. That's the good stuff right there. Hitting stuff with sticks.
Yeah.
Seeing what breaks first. Most of the time it's the stick.
Oh, God, just those days of boredom. And nowadays, you know, you don't get that anymore. Everyone has phones. Everyone can pull out Facebook or Google or whatever. Everyone has a video game system of some kind, even if it is just their phone.
Yeah.
Boredom really isn't a thing. And if you say that you're bored, guess what? You're not, because you're probably reading stuff online. You're not just sitting there watching the sun slowly pass over you.
Waiting for the day to expire.
Exactly.
Longing for the next and for some man to drive down the gravel road and provide some excitement.
Oh, man. When a car drove down that road, that was... Woo, boy!
Yeah, man. The nowadays of Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and just unlimited videos on YouTube and, you know, things to be a part of in some way, watch, occupy your time. Occupy your time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, children will be bored no matter what.
Yeah.
They will.
Yeah.
And we will become the old people and say, back in my day, we crawled around our own shit. So you enjoy your unlimited entertainment.
Oh, God. And, like, I used to try to fill the time with, like, writing and art, but I can't draw, and I was a stupid, like, 6-year-old. What was I going to write?
Today was a day.
Okay, bye now.
Superman is awesome. Bye. Great. And the Pulitzer goes to...
That's my number two, crippling boredom.
All right. Number one, it is... I mean, this is not a conversation I look forward to having with my daughter ever, and I don't think I will. But future teenage boys, current teenage boys, back in my day...
Oh, boy.
Pornography was a unicorn. You had to find pornography.
Oh, it was like a treasure hunt.
It was, and with the sweetest rewards at the end. Like, it was a treasure hunt where it was like, the treasure wasn't some fucking gold doubloons that you had to then reference a magazine to see how much it was worth.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the treasure. Like, the treasure was the treasure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The treasure was a youthful orgasm. I mean, and it was a grab bag. You know, like, whatever you found, you didn't know what you're like, oh my god, I found, you know, this catalog, the lingerie section. You're like, okay, and we've got some African American ladies, okay, mm-hmm. And we got a dude that that is in a banana hammock, not as good. Not as good. Then we've got a lady that looks like my friend's mom. I dig it. Obviously, the treasure trove was your buddy's dad's hidden stash.
Oh, yeah.
And every time, you'd have to pop the VHS in, and, I mean, it's a crapshoot.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know what's on that tape. It could be...
Like, oh, you're talking about porno tapes. Okay.
Yeah. Like, you don't know what is on there. What particular, you know, what category you would be clicking for this video. You don't know, because it's chosen for you.
Exactly.
Because it's the only thing you could get.
I was thinking more finding the magazines, the stack of magazines. Mm-hmm. It's like you put in a VHS tape to get the background noise so your parents can't hear you riffling through the magazines.
Oh, no. Because it didn't happen a lot, but that's why it was the treasure trove of dad's actual porno stash of VHS porno.
Yeah, yeah.
So now these goddamn kids, it's they all have a phone, and they'll be out somewhere in the middle of the afternoon and be like, I'm looking very specifically for
well, and like just that right there, it's finding fetishized porno of like if you're a foot fetishist or if you think smoking is sexy, like
anything.
That was like an extra treasure hunt. It's like, oh man, this is just regular porno. But nowadays, as you were about to say, you could search for anything.
You'd be like, I'm looking for, you know, African American, big breasted, smoking, foot job, point of view. And they're like, here's a million results.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. Back in my day, I'm like, tit! That was a tit! Did you see that tit? Yeah, but it was old and awful, but it was a titty.
This is Granny Bang Five.
Hey, you take what you can get, man. Beggars can't be choosers at this point. And now everyone is a connoisseur.
That's right.
So that is a thing, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
That is never going back.
Oh, yeah.
Never going to be the same again.
It's so widespread. It's so prevalent. Every single time you open a porn video, there's links to dozens of other porn videos.
If I could go back and tell, you know, 14-year-old Steve one thing, it wouldn't be like, by the way, do this. You're going to marry that woman. Invest your baseball card money into a 401k. I'd be like, I want you to know, porno will be with you. Soon you will have unlimited pornography. Stay strong.
May the porn be with you.
Like, man, future Steve is full of shit.
I try to show him this tit I found.
From Granny Bang 5. And he was like, dude, that's gross. You can do better. And I was like, but I can't.
All right, that's a really good number one, Steve.
Thank you.
My number one is something that I don't think people even think about anymore. Watch a movie or really do anything, go anywhere, based solely on peer recommendation.
Oh, without referencing a review.
Exactly. A perfect example, just this past weekend. My mom was in town, so she wanted to meet my lady friend. We were wondering about about where to go. She said, oh, I heard about this place, El Jardin. I'm like, oh, fantastic. What did I do? Immediately went to Google and Yelp, looked up reviews.
Is this legit? No, like you like Google. Is El Jardin legit? Is it actually good?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or, yeah.
Exactly. And like I hear about a movie and I thought it was pretty good. Okay, let's look at Rotten Tomatoes. Look at these review sites that I go to. Or this TV show. Let's go to Wikipedia to see the critics' consensus.
Yeah.
Like every single thing that you hear is good. You, at least I do, I assume most people do, instantly go to the internet to see if anybody else can corroborate that.
You want to verify it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's, I think I take those recommendations. Actually, so this is part of the reason why I'm very hesitant to give recommendations to people, because I want my recommendations to not have to be checked out. I want when I recommend something to be like, you know what, it's pretty good. It's this. I try to be very non-hyperbolic about it, you know, be like,
yeah,
I don't know, it's good. You'll probably have a good time with it, but it's not going to change your life, you know, that sort of thing. So when I'm like, go eat at this place.
Yeah.
It is fantastic. I want that to carry weight.
Sure.
When I say that.
Sure.
Yes, I'm very aware of what you're talking about. So that's why I try to temper the things that I say so that I can do the verification for you right now. So if I'm like, hey man, this show is hilarious, and you go on Rotten Tomatoes like 7, it currently has a 7. Steve is an asshole for a different reason.
Exactly. What, really, Steve? The Ranch starring Ashton Kutcher?
Hilarious.
Oh, boy.
You've never laughed like you're gonna laugh tonight.
I don't even know when that switch happened. You know, like they used to have movie reviews in magazines and used to have book reviews somewhere, and then online happened. All these review sites started popping up. It was such a gradual thing. Remember when Siskel and Ebert used to be the champs of reviewing, the kings of reviewing movies? Like their word was gold.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, like, again, like with the restaurant thing, like someone would be like, hey, go check out this restaurant. And unless you pulled out, like, the Zagat guide.
Yeah.
There's, you could, like, I don't know, maybe I'll dig through the archives at the library for a restaurant review of this place.
Yeah.
How are you going to search for it? Oh, I'm just going to look through old newspapers. What? You can't just type in Chicago Tribune review restaurant? Like, no, that's not a thing we have yet. We have to use the Dewey Decimal System.
Oh, there's another good one.
That was on my honorable mention, was the Dewey Decimal System.
Oh, my God. Well, that's my number one, using peer review solely, or peer recommendations solely to do or go anywhere.
Sure. To not reference Yelp and Rotten Tomatoes on things.
What, out of curiosity, what were some of your... Oh, let's do our top five in review. Go.
Yes, yes. Number five, Beckett Value Magazine for cards. Number four, good playground equipment. Number three, the Buy 12 CDs for 1 cent from Columbia House. Number two, privacy. Mm-hmm. One, pornography.
My number five was scalding hot playground equipment. My number four was alarm clocks. My number three was cursive. My number two was crippling boredom. My number one was go do anything or go anywhere or watch anything based solely on peer recommendations alone.
One that I didn't put on because I think this is another really good just like general example of our era dying, and that's Blockbuster Video / renting movies.
Oh, sure.
That's not... I used to be so excited to go to Blockbuster and peruse the movies and, like, we're going to have a sleepover. And we all walk through and we pick a couple movies and look at the back of the, like, that's why I knew, like, the artwork of movies so well, because we just walk down the aisles and look. I loved Blockbuster. And that is a thing that is completely dead, obviously, to our children.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I had stuff like landlines and...
Yep.
Almanacs. It's like, oh, you just had a book of random facts.
Yeah.
Did you really need to know what time the sun was going to rise and set every single day of the year?
Yeah. Like, you mean just the app on my phone that tells me every single day when I wake up?
Yeah.
Like, no, 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 not that. It's a book some farmers put together. they're pretty good about it.
Having to do math without a calculator. Oh, boy.
I also had on here, physical media, period.
Sure.
Because by the time our children, like, even USB drives and stuff, that is, like, just send it to the cloud and then get it from there.
Oh,
CDs,
yeah.
VHS, yeah, like, that's not happening. But another good specific one, I feel like good Happy Meal toys are a thing of the past as well.
Or cereal toys.
Or cereal, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's not a thing anymore.
Oh, man.
Like, they had the really good, at the time, like, Beanie Babies were really, like, they had awesome, like, glasses that you would get from McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
They were, like, cool character glasses and little action figures. And, like, now they're all like, this is a sponge. Enjoy your Batman sponge. Jesus, what? This is the best you can give my 6-year-old son is a sponge.
Oh, and you know, Steve, your daughter's going to want that sponge.
Oh, my God. They're like, I know you like Barbies, but do you like
Barbie motor oil?
Do you like Barbie soap? No, I don't like Barbie soap, McDonald's, you asshats.
So there's some extra ones for you.
Yeah.
Everybody, we touched on a lot of specifics here. We want to hear your five specifics or generalities as well.
Yeah.
I know Steve mentioned MapQuest. One of my honorable mentions was just using maps, the book of, like, the
An
maps
atlas.
Of every state. The atlas, yeah, thank you.
Atlas.
That's the word for it.
Yeah.
So please write us in your top five back in my day.
And then we can, so then you'll have these primed and ready, so when you have your children, you'll be like, back in my day, I only looked at old saggy titties!
Grandpa! You can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can email us at fiveandoutshow@gmail.com. Remember, that is the new email, fiveandoutshow@gmail.com.
As always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was five. And we're out!
Ladies and gentlemen, listeners to oneofus.net, Be a subscriber. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, being a subscriber is it. The long-term benefits of being a subscriber at oneofus.net have been proven by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Watch TV, but not too much. Remember to cast a wide net of types of shows you watch. Even reality TV may have the occasional gem to offer. Don't feel too bad that you have trouble finding friends that share your interests. You are amazing, and you should love what you love. Sure, in 20 years you'll look back at your favorite stuff and cringe at some of it, but it will be with an affectionate smile. By the way, I have no doubt that you probably look amazing. Even if you haven't found that person yet, if you believe in yourself, somebody is going to love you. I'm sure anime is great. I don't personally watch a lot of it, although some of our staff certainly does. You'll feel better in realizing that my lack of interest in it isn't me critiquing the quality of anime, and affects your love of it in no way. Tony is probably not gonna show up. Yeah, we wish he would too. Love that guy. Taking it personal when someone likes something you hate or hates something you love in entertainment is understandable when young. But as you get older, trust me, there will be little that will make you feel more embarrassed about yourself than cruel things you said on someone's Facebook page about DC versus Marvel or whatever at 3 a.m. At least hopefully. Write. Create. Do your own thing. And if you don't have the time, find the time. Try out the shows you haven't given a shot to yet on our network, like Thumbtacks and Screwjobs, Somebody Likes It, or Deliberations of Doom. We think you'll be pleasantly surprised. But seriously, trust me on the subscription.